contemplate. Contemplate impermanence. All conditioned phenomena have the natural lifespan that includes destruction and decay. Thus they are called anicom, impermanent, inconstant, arising, and passing away. According to the commentary of Alagadupama Sutta, the simile of the snake, the five aggregates are impermanent in nature because of their four intrinsic properties listed below. Their state of rising and falling, of change or alteration, of temporariness, of lack of permanence or lasting quality. After learning the concept of impermanence, we move on to contemplate the object, all physical and mental phenomena, as impermanent. If your body feels hot, put your mindfulness with the heat. First, recognize it and focus on it. Then, divert your attention to notice its change, especially the fading away and the disappearance. There is one common mistake made by most yogis. When observing an object, either a physical sensation, pain, itchiness, heat, etc., or a feeling, pleasant or unpleasant, or a mental state, greedy mind, anger, jealousy, fear, etc., they tend to focus on its most stable aspect, the arising, which manifests more vividly compared with the other aspects. This may lead to the false impression that the object is constant or permanent. This is a trap one must avoid. After recognizing the arising of the object of observation, a yogi must pay attention to its cessation. The characteristic of impermanence is concealed when attention is not paid to the ceasing of the object observed. When two different phenomena, one of fading away and another of arising, are mixed up in a series in a rapid succession, the untrained mind perceives them as a compact mass that permanently exists. In this way, the nature of arising and ceasing is concealed by the compactness of mass rather than as sequential discrete phenomena that arise one after another. Just as when observed from a distance, a line of hundreds of working ants could be falsely perceived as a continuous cotton string. However, when the compactness of mass and the compactness of continuity is disrupted by attending closely to the vanishing of the object, phenomena become disconnected and the characteristic of impermanence becomes apparent in its true nature. The phenomenon is seen not only as perpetually renewed, dying and reproduced, but as short-lived, as empty and illusory as dewdrops at sunrise, as bubbles on the water, as a lightning flash, and as a dream. Hence, it is important to direct our attention to the impermanence of whatever arises from mind and body through contact of the object with our six sense faculties, the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind. This is called wise attention. Paying attention to the impermanent nature and the cessation of all conditioned phenomena. Wise attention serves as the proximate cause for the arising of wisdom. Here, contemplating impermanence means repeatedly paying wise attention to see the vanishing, falling away, change, alteration, or disappearance of phenomena. There are three phases in the lifespan of an object: arising, abiding, and cessation. With mindfulness, a yogi first recognizes the phases of arising and abiding, and then guides the mind to see the cessation. This is contemplation of impermanence. To repeat, most yogis fail to see impermanence simply because they put emphasis on arising rather than passing away. Or sometimes, before the object vanishes from observation, another thought has crept in, and one is sidetracked by following the thought, and therefore fails to see the cessation of the object previously under observation. Mindfulness recognizes whatever phenomena arises at this moment. Wisdom sees its ceasing. Arising of phenomena is easy to be aware of, but not the ceasing. We are rarely taught to contemplate the cessation of the object. In fact, we habitually dislike the passing away, but prefer perpetual existence, especially of that which brings us pleasure. Now it's time to adopt a brand new practice in order to uproot the old habits deeply rooted in our mind, like a caterpillar breaking out of the cocoon in order to become a butterfly. It is by directing the mind to see the passing away of the object that one is able to perceive the discrete moments of arising and ceasing. This must be done with ease, without pushing oneself too much. It's totally unnecessary to tense up and strive, since momentary arising and cessation will invariably manifest in any existence. One of my students who finally awakened to this fact sent the following description to me. I had heard your teaching on noting impermanence more than once over the years. I always agreed that it seemed like a good thing to do, but every time I tried to do it, it not only felt mechanical, but it was uncomfortable. So I would do it for a little while, then it would taper off. I started thinking about what I was focusing on whenever an object arose. I realized that I was looking at the stable aspects of objects and noting impermanent, but because the stable aspect seemed permanent, my noting and my experience were not matching. That's what was causing the discomfort. Although I tried very hard looking for the impermanent aspect of objects, still I couldn't see it. I felt frustrated. I asked myself, why can't I see the impermanent aspect of these objects? I looked more closely at the objects. There were so many, one after another impinging on my senses. Then I discovered that I was seeing the arising of the objects, and the arising was the stable aspect that gives rise to the perception of permanence. Then I realized I was too tense. I was spending too much energy directing my attention at the objects, grasping at them, trying to see. So I said to myself, don't look at the objects, just look at the moments passing by. My mind relaxed, and suddenly it was like a rushing river of countless moments passing by, like a fire hose, uncontrolled, unrecognizable, a whole torrent of moments passing. Everything is passing. Since then, in daily life and meditation, I can still see the passing away of moments. Whenever I can see the passing of things instead of the arising, there is a sense of relief, particularly with unpleasant sensations. I can see them passing, and they are not bothersome. When I note impermanent, it is comfortable now and matches what I'm experiencing. This sharing is very encouraging indeed, and has proven the efficacy of this method. In the Discourse on the Foundations of Mindfulness, the Buddha repeatedly urged practitioners to contemplate the nature of arising and vanishing in the body, feelings, mind, and dhammas. Or else he abides contemplating in dhammas its arising factors, or he abides contemplating in dhammas its vanishing factors, or he abides contemplating in dhammas both its arising and vanishing factors. Now you may ask, what are the benefits of contemplating impermanence? 1. To resolve the distorted perception of permanence embedded in the mind, which prevents the mind from seeing phenomena as they actually are. During our day-to-day life drama, we experience constant fluctuation in our feelings, thoughts, bodily sensations, and emotions. However, instead of seeing change, we perceive these fluctuations in a distorted manner due to deeply ingrained habits accumulated life after life. We fail to contemplate or note impermanence while experiencing whatever change is occurring at the moment, and always allow the truth to escape the mind. Therefore, the perception of impermanence does not take hold in our minds. By repeatedly noting the word vanishing at the moment of noticing the disappearance of an arisen phenomena, we leave a mark for future perceptions of impermanence. Knowledge of impermanence extinguishes our false expectations toward permanence and frees us from the violent roller coaster ride of emotions. 2. To harmonize the mind with reality. As the Buddha repeatedly pointed out, impermanent are all formations. Their nature is rising and ceasing. When we perceive something impermanent as permanent, we betray the reality. How can the true nature of the object be known? As impermanence is the reality, only by noting the impermanent as impermanent can we harmonize our minds with the reality, allowing the truth to manifest clearly. 3. To avoid the arising of grasping and craving that leads to suffering. Craving takes root when we regard whatever we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, feel, perceive, think, and fabricate as pleasurable, delightful, and permanent. Based on the doctrine of dependent origination, when craving arises, it conditions clinging. Clinging then forces us to take action in order to obtain the desired objects. Taking action to obtain the desired objects is the performance of kama. Such actions performed by body, speech, and mind are called kamic becoming. Thus, clinging conditions kamic becoming. Whatever kamic action is performed, whether skillful or unskillful, leaves behind kamic energy in one's life stream for the rebirth of future five aggregates in due time. Thus it is said, becoming conditions birth, and birth conditions aging, sickness, sorrow, lamentation, despair, and the entire mass of suffering, rotating the wheel of dependent origination. This is the turning of the cycle of rebirth, samsara, by desire and craving. How can we break the chains and free ourselves from samsara by abandoning craving? The Buddha taught, bhikkhus, whatever ascetics and Brahmins in the past, present, or future regard that in the world with a pleasant and agreeable nature, as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self, as a disease, as fearful, they abandon craving. In abandoning craving, they abandon acquisition. In abandoning acquisition, they abandon suffering. Thus, contemplation of impermanence is a way to abandon craving. Abandoning craving from moment to moment is to abandon suffering gradually. One day, after the morning sitting, I went out for a walk. I felt my mind full of happiness, mind contact. I was also aware that such a state of happiness came from having a good sitting. It was conditionally produced and soon would disintegrate. As I became aware of the impermanence of this conditionally arisen state of mind, I saw my mind immediately let go of the clinging to that happiness, like a drop of dew slipping off from a lotus leaf without any attachment. This is a demonstration of the mind abandoning craving through contemplation of impermanence. 4. To train the mind to let go of clinging to what is passing. As previously mentioned, when abusive words stop impinging the ears based on the cause-effect principle, the unpleasant feeling, the effect, should cease when sound, the cause, ceases. But why do we remain embroiled in unpleasant feeling even after ear contact has ceased? Because the mind stubbornly grasps what has passed. Contemplation of the past unpleasant feeling as impermanent can train the mind to abandon it. The word impermanent teaches the subconscious to let go of the clinging because the mind is not inclined to take hold of things that are arising and disintegrating every moment. Contemplation of impermanence is to note and to label all arisen mental and physical phenomena as vanishing, vanishing, or impermanent, impermanent, or gone, gone. This technique may initially appear to be just labeling and a mechanical recitation, but in reality, it's wise attention, attending to the phenomena wisely in accordance with the truth that nothing lasts. One tip for you here. Do not put too much effort trying to grasp the object when contemplating impermanence, for this would stabilize the object and make it appear to be permanent. On the contrary, hold fast to the faith in the doctrine of cessation of all formations. Direct your mind toward the fading phase of the object and stay with it until the moment it disappears. To do this, you must relax your mind. During a retreat I conducted in the USA, a student who was a Dhamma teacher relayed an experience to me. She said that after she initially heard my instruction to pay wise attention or label arisen mental states as impermanent, she was not convinced. She felt that such recitation was too simplistic to be useful or to actually work. Then one morning, out of nowhere, she found her mind very disturbed by irritation and anger, and these destructive mental states ruined her peaceful meditation practice. She tried many ways to dispel the anger, but they were all in vain. Finally, she decided she would give my instructions on the contemplation of impermanence a try. Mentally, she noted the angry mind as impermanent. Immediately, she found that the angry thoughts that had troubled her the whole morning subsided. Her peace of mind was restored. She was very impressed and rushed to tell me that the contemplation of impermanence was like a magical mantra, able to dispel unwholesome thoughts very quickly. Not only had her doubt about the effectiveness of this practice vanished, but she also wanted to put signs up all over her house reminding her to practice this all the time. When the mind is accustomed to the contemplation of impermanence and the insight speeds up, the arising and ceasing of phenomena becomes faster. The object observed is no longer apparent. Instead, what manifests in the mind is the process of arising and ceasing, repeatedly occurring in a rapid manner. This state of being continuously oppressed by arising and ceasing, or, in other words, by momentary birth and death, is the characteristic of dukkha, or unsatisfactoriness. Through this direct knowledge, we can infer that all pleasure and joy gained through the five aggregates are also in a state of flux and inconstant, but the undeveloped mind may see it differently as constant, because conditioned things are constantly oppressed by their rise and fall. Dukkha is said to have the nature of danger and dreadfulness. Seeing this danger inherent in the five aggregates, we lose the perception of happiness towards the five aggregates, and now see them as a heap of dukkha. Impermanent and unsatisfactory phenomena are also devoid of self. Having seen phenomena as impermanent and suffering, the practitioner further develops the realization that what is impermanent and suffering cannot be regarded as a permanent self, because there is no way we can exercise power over it. If phenomena were self, they would yield to our wishes. However, we cannot keep the phenomena from ceasing. We cannot keep a pleasant feeling sustained no matter how much pleasure it brings. In the suttas, the Buddha repeatedly told his disciples to comprehend the nature of non-self. Bhikkhus, how do you conceive it? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, venerable sir. Now, is what is impermanent painful or pleasant? Painful, venerable sir. Now, is what is impermanent, painful, subject to change, fit to be regarded thus? This is mine, this is I, this is myself? No, venerable sir. The ultimate goal of seeing impermanence. The above discourse by the Buddha tells us to see impermanence, followed by the clear comprehension of suffering, leading to the wisdom to penetrate the nature of non-self. Full understanding of the three universal characteristics of existence takes the ardent practitioner to the ultimate goal, nibbana, freedom from suffering. Allow. Knowing and seeing with wisdom a phenomenon as it really is, we allow what is just as it is. There is nothing that needs to be fixed except continuous practice for liberation. Now we are ready to let go. Let it go. Learn to let go of entanglements in the mind when defilements arise. Try not to cling to anything, whether it's pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Train your mind to immediately let go of whatever causes suffering. Let go of whatever arises. Let go of whatever changes. Let go of whatever passes. Let go of all phenomena as if they were simply clouds passing in the sky or churning waves in a river, observing them with insight, but not clinging to them.